Area Congressman Tim Walberg joins us this morning. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
I think I see your name as backing the lawsuit against the state of Michigan calling our election a fraud. Thus, your race would have been a fraud, right?
I didn't back anything saying that. You're reading the mainstream media and accepting what they say about it. That's absolutely false.
So you're not
signed on.
Okay, you're not backing that lawsuit.
I'm backing that lawsuit going before the Supreme Court and asking the Supreme Court to rule on it, and specifically to rule on the fact, as stated in the opening sentences of the amicus brief that I signed on to with 106 other members of the U.S. House, saying that on the merits, this amicus brief, and I'm reading specifically to you, defends the constitutional authority of state legislatures, of which I was one for 16 years, as the only bodies duly authorized to establish the manner by which presidential electors are appointed. That is the guts of the amicus brief. We want the court to at least take it up. And why do we want to take it up? Because right now, well over a quarter of the United States citizens believe this election was not carried out according to Hoyle. There is distrust in it. We've had distrust for 4 years already. How long do we want this to continue? So what we're saying, regardless, this isn't about Biden or Trump so much as it's about making sure that the authority for carrying out election process and the election itself remains vested in the legislatures. Reading the Constitution of the state of Michigan, the only authority for election process is given to the state legislature, not Jocelyn Benson. And I don't care whether it was COVID or another problem that brought up challenges for an election, and we had those. But nonetheless, she should have gone, in my belief, according to the Constitution, that I put my hand up in the air 16 times in the State House to support. And now the U.S. Constitution as well here, soon to be the seventh time, I will take that oath, that we carry it out. And the U.S. Constitution gives that authority back to the state legislatures. And so the state legislatures have made law, along with the Constitution, that must be followed. If not, then why do we elect the state legislature? Why not just say, well, Jocelyn Benson, Attorney General, and the governor can do whatever they want for elections? We don't want that. That's all I'm asking. And when the mainstream media is unwilling to report on the fact of what we're doing, you know, I wear a ring on my finger for many years now, and I still have it, and people ask me why I have this ring on my finger, which is my state legislature ring. I'm not in the state legislature anymore, but that ring, I've told people numerous times, reminds me that the power flows from the states to Washington and not vice versa. And that's all we're asking. We're asking for the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court rule that the state legislatures are the final authority on how this is done. Now, they may decide that they won't accept Jocelyn Benson overpowering them. That's their responsibility. If they do that, well, they've acted. That's all I'm asking. And if people read, will actually read, and it's very short, especially the Michigan section, read what the amicus brief says. They will understand much better than if they take the word of the mainstream media, as they talk about it, sadly, even some of the Michigan media now that's talking about it and not knowing what they're talking about.
What laws were broken or subverted, Tim?
Well, we have numerous sworn statements of people who were at various polling places and at the counting center, specifically Wayne County, TCF Center, Detroit, Wayne County, who were locked out of doing their constitutionally established jobs, while others were allowed, Democrat challengers, etc., were allowed to be in the center. That they were locked out and under the cover of darkness there were boxes of ballots brought in. The counting was put off, allegedly, and then all of a sudden started. We have people with sworn statements under the threat of perjury who have said that. Now, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I do know in order to make sure that now approaching 90% of Republican voters and 30 to 35% of Democrat voters believe that there was great fraud in this election, do we want to carry that on for four more years? Or, more importantly, do we want that to be the perception of the American public, the American voter, from here on? I don't want that. I ask myself a couple of questions. One, how much fraud am I willing to accept in the election process? My answer is none, and I think most people would say that. The second question, do I want to go through another 4 years and beyond not trusting that my ballot actually counts? Those are two important questions, and the final is a personal question. Do I want the state legislature, and the state specifically, to have the authority that the Constitution gives them or not? And my answer to that one as well is yes. And that's the only reason I signed on to this amicus brief. Hopefully this U.S. Supreme Court will take it up seriously. How they will rule on it, I don't know. But they ought to take it up. Because what we've seen with state courts in Michigan, including the Michigan Supreme Court, but for two members, Markman and Zara, is worth a warm pitcher of spit now because they've become totally political. And that's gone on before this election. But I'm concerned that the people's best interests, that their government represent them and no one else, is not being carried out.
Well, the courts have shot everything down, so you're saying all the courts are wrong except the two justices? They're the only ones that are right here?
No, but I'm saying on the decisions that the Supreme Court has made, yeah. I'm saying that in this case and many other cases that I've seen in recent days, this Supreme Court of Michigan has now become a joke again, like it was back in the 80s. Until it was changed to a originalist court that even went against Republican governors like Engler on a number of cases. That's what we need. Other judges in that we've seen who have ruled in clear partisan ways on a number of cases prior to this, they continue their process. But what we're saying is the courts don't rule the laws of the state of Michigan. They don't make them. They carry them out. And when you have clear in Article 2 of the Michigan Constitution, clear responsibility given only to the legislature, and they have given the process by which elections are to be carried out, including how absentee ballots are supposed to be cared for. And in this election, everything was upset, and Jocelyn Benson, our Secretary of State, inserted herself into things that may have been good, may have been proper, but she did not have the authority, as I read the Constitution and the laws on the election process that the state legislatures put in place. And I think that's what we're saying, and I don't think, that is what we're saying needs to be looked at. Was there a violation of Michigan law and Constitution in how it was carried out? I think it was, but that's what the Supreme Court ought to be asked to consider, because they, carrying out the Constitution and Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution as well, have the authority to say, this goes back to the states. This is their authority. And we should not allow anyone other than state legislatures across the United States to do what they and they alone can do. Otherwise, we don't need them, because then we can have the administrative offices, governor, attorney general, secretary of state, and the courts carry out what they want in the state of Michigan. That's not what I signed up for. That's not the oath of office I took for 16 years in the state house. And that's certainly not the oath of office I've taken here in the U.S. House either.
Did I hear you right? You said the Michigan Supreme Court is a joke?
No, I didn't say that. I said the Michigan Supreme Court, as it sits right now, but for two members of that court, Justice Markman and Zara, in my opinion, is worth a warm pitcher of spit. That's the exact quote. It is what it is, and they have proved themselves to be a partisan body for several years now, and it's not just for this. I've been very concerned the direction that they're going after I saw Michigan really establish a standard in the 90s and beyond as being a court that could be counted on to do one thing generally, and that was apply the law faithfully and the Constitution, even when it went against Republicans, in my case as a Republican, including Republican governors like Engler. They firmly carried it out, and we don't see that anymore.
COVID relief, are you ready to sign off on anything yet?
I'm ready to sign off on a bill that we brought up 40 times now for a vote. We have a motion discharge. It's a simple bill. My colleague from Ohio, Representative Shabbat, has put it up. And it's a bill that says $137 billion of PPP funding can and should be used if we simply change the date of ending of that program. That was in August. We never thought we would need it beyond August. It's gone well beyond August, and $137 billion of those funds weren't used. It's a very simple thing. Democrats and Republicans almost unanimously voted to support those dollars being put in place in the first place. Why won't they step up? Why won't Nancy Pelosi say, good, we know we can pass this in a bipartisan fashion. We've done it before. Let's do it again. Well, we found out last week in an interview when she actually said that now that there will be a new president, I'm willing to negotiate. I mean, that is fraud against the American public and her oath of office as well. That she would hurt small businesses in order to make it appear that Donald Trump shouldn't be the president again. So that's one bill that we could do. We could do a bill and vote, I would think, unanimously to send more funding to schools and to health care centers. We could do that. But Nancy Pelosi is still holding on to the idea that we ought to do social changing as well, dealing with everything from LGBTQ to the election process to absolute mail-in voting required all across the United States to step in the place of state authority on elections. She wants to do Green New Deal stuff as well. That's what's held it up. No, I'm ready. I'm ready to vote on those key things that will really make a difference in moving forward, both in health as well as the economy.
Yeah, what about small business?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. PPP is small business. That's small business. That says we will keep your payroll protected, and here are the funds to do it. We've also got language in there now that would make it, and Fred Upton and I have talked and worked on this together as well, that would make the Treasury Department incapable of taxing businesses for those benefits that came through PPP to keep their business viable and to pay their employees. They shouldn't have to pay taxes on that. This is a unique setting, a war that we're having on a China virus, and it needs to be considered. So no, we're willing to vote on that, and Nancy Pelosi is saying no. And so last week we voted on big cats, exotic cats, and marijuana. And this week there were a number of other pieces of legislation that I guess seemed more important than fixing the COVID issue and the economic issue, the small business issue, the employee issue, the liability issue, and those things. And so we labor into it. We'll be coming back next week. And I agree with the speaker that we shouldn't go home for Christmas without fixing it. And so we'll probably be in here most of the month of December until we get it done, and we'll see what happens.
Area Congressman Tim Walberg. Tim, appreciate it.
Appreciate being on with you every week.
Have a safe flight.
Well, I'll leave that to Delta and God, and generally speaking, we've had a very smooth flight. So look forward to getting back.
Take care.